What's good, everybody? Welcome back to, I think this is episode 14 now of The Syndicate. I got somebody special on today, somebody I used to fuck with this content for a while, even before I got really started in the space. I got my fellow long-haired e-commerce multi-millionaire playboy fellow model enjoyer, Rene Lacade. It's great to have you on, bro.
Good to be on, bro. I'm not a playboy, by the way, like anymore. I got a girl. I'm very happy.
Reformed playboy.
I'm an adult, man. It feels good to just be an adult. And like, I feel like I'm getting into that space where I can like settle down, build my business. A couple million's not enough. I want 100 million or nothing. That's what I always say.
It's better to be a man of extremes.
Yeah.
I can never imagine living life on one side of it, like, or in the middle, right? Like it's better to, I completely believe it's better to live life either at an extreme level or don't do it at all. Right. Yeah. Either go live on a beach in Thailand, $500 a month, or just go balls to the wall.
Well, I also feel like you need to make a lot of money to do awesome things. A certain amount of money will only get you certain things. If you want to live a good life, you only need like $1 million, right? Yeah. But if you want a jet, you want complete freedom, mm-hmm. where nothing applies to you, you need at least $100 million.
Yeah, I spoke with Nick Rogers about that. He said his number is 100 mil. He's like, dude, 30 ain't enough.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of crazy how like your frame of reference changes when you start making money. Right. When you start seeing what's possible. Cause like, I know you came from a car sales background, and like, when you start seeing what's possible of what's actually achievable, and like when your scope of reference changes, when you're hanging around people who are doing like millions of dollars a year or light years ahead of you. I know you went and you worked with Ty Lopez for a while. Like, you know, when you zoom out and you see actually like what's genuinely achievable, so much shit changes. And that's a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about, bro. My first question to you is like, how long, and this is something that I've not been like struggling with, but something that I've been experiencing is like, when you start coming into your own as like a man, right? Like when you start, mm-hmm. your finances are good, like you're starting to like get, you know, with the girls you always wanted to get with and just achieve and living in the places you wanted to live. Like for me, I always wanted to live in LA and now I live here. But when do you think there was a point where you started to genuinely feel really deserving of the things that you worked for and the things that you had?
Oh, that's a fire question. I love this podcast already. Normally podcasts are like, so tell us a little bit about your story. And it's like,
oh, yeah, we don't that.
So this is a very deep question. I like it. And I think ultimately when you stop chasing like external things, that's when you know, like, I'm fucking here. I just arrived.
Yeah.
I'm me now. Because, and I'm not going to lie, for me, that wasn't even that long ago. I want to say that was maybe a year and a half ago. Because, and I've been doing this for a while. I made like my first six figures in car sales. I was like 21 yeah. years old. Started working for Ty Lopez, learned about the internet, social media stuff. So I've been doing it for about 5 years at like the highest level. Yeah. And I made a lot of money and I still wasn't necessarily congruent with everything I believed in. Because I was doing stuff for like girls. I was doing stuff to like get a car or a nice place, get a penthouse. To me, all that stuff mattered still because I felt like I needed to prove myself to other people. Yeah. And I still needed that validation. Like, look at what I got. I'm cool for having this. And about a year and a half ago, I sold a lot of my stuff. I got rid of my two places in LA, got rid of my cars. Now I literally don't have a car. So people think it's funny. Like, oh, you don't have a car? You can't afford a car? It's like, no, I got this fucking bracelet with a bunch of diamonds on it, but I don't need I don't need a car, you know, like if I wanted a car, I could have a car, but I don't drive anywhere. I work from home. There's no yeah. need for me to do that. I had my office, got rid of my office, had employees, got rid of them. They're all remote now. I think once you start to like realize who you really are and what you enjoy and what makes you happy, that's when you know, like, oh, I'm fucking here. I arrived.
Yeah. You know, and I had a similar experience. I made my first six figures in like gross, right? Like pre-tax mm-hmm. income when I was 22.
Okay.
And I sold loans to small businesses.
Yeah.
And that, bro, that was a beautiful experience, right? Even mm-hmm. though it's a fucking experience, I would never do it again. I would never do it again. You couldn't pay me to do that shit again, to sit there and rip 150 cold calls a day for 10 hours a day. Like, bro, like, it was a beautiful experience. But I think only recently, just me personally, bro, is like, I remember like, it was when I first started dating the girl that I have now, my girlfriend mm-hmm. now. And I remember I just was like, yo, like I always thought like this was when I was younger. I always thought like where I was at now is like the upper limit of like what people could achieve, right? Because mm-hmm. I didn't have that frame of reference. And I remember I was riding around, me and my boy, my best friend of 20 years, we're riding through the hills. And I was like, yo, like, I really feel like I'm getting the things that I deserve. Like, I feel like I'm deserving of it. Like, because there's an imposter syndrome, right? That comes with a lot of the shit that happens, right? If you make money too fast, you're still trying to prove yourself. You're trying to prove that you're the man. You're trying to prove like, oh, like I got money. I'm in the club. Oh, I can get this girl. I can do this. And I think once you start to like detach from that external validation and really just validate yourself internally, I think your life starts to change. And genuinely, even though you have all the same shit, you wake up every single day a lot happier than you were the day before.
Facts. And yeah. I think that part, like when you're moving and you're aligned, I hate that word aligned because it's so corny. Like, oh, I'm finding alignment. And it's like, you motherfuckers are not aligned. Like, go fix your life.
Yeah.
But you can tell when people are aligned because they got their finances straight. They got their fitness right. They're not like trying to overcompensate for anything. Mm-hmm. They're doing everything correctly because they're aligned. They're feeling good about like the way they're moving. And yeah. I think as soon as you become aligned, you realize like, I deserve this. Because even when you make a lot of money, you made over 100 grand, you made six figures when you were 22. I feel like you were still trying to, in the same way with me, I felt like I still didn't feel like I deserve this. I'm like, oh, this shit is happening. Let me see what I can do with this. And then after a while you get jaded to it and you're like, you know what? I fucking did that. Cause 100 cold calls, not easy. Anyone can make six figures too. If all they did was pick up the phone and call people, but no one wants to put that work in.
No.
Cause it's hard.
When somebody comes in the car a lot, no one wants to go talk to that guy.
Yeah.
I'm scared. What if, oh, he's probably just looking around, but the people that they think are looking around are actually buyers.
100%.
And I think, you know, something we talked about like right before we started recording was congruence. And I think the older you get, the more you start to become more congruent with who you actually are, right? Yeah. And like your priorities start to change because like, dude, like I lived for, I think quite literally almost the past 7 years of my life and like, just like trying to prove myself. And I've actually never spoken about this before, like just trying to prove myself, like trying to prove that like I was good at the things that I did, like just validate myself. And It comes in waves, but I think seriously, man, like when you live that life of like constantly searching, trying to prove yourself that you're the man, that you can get that girl or you can spend that much in the club or go buy this or have a nice house or whatever it may be, like you not only start to lose track of who you are, but there's an emptiness mm-hmm. inside you. And everything that you do is a chase to try to fill that void. And a lot of guys do it with girls.
Yeah, a lot of guys do it with girls. I think what happens with guys and girls, right? When a guy has a girl, they feel cool about it. They're like, look at me with girls. I've seen the corniest dudes, and we could talk about it, but like they'll go to the club, right? They'll get a table and they'll like invite girls. Obviously, they're like, oh, everyone, let's take a picture. And they'll try to gather all the girls around the table. Like, hey, can you take a picture of me with all these girls? And it's like, okay, Dan Bilzerian, chill, bro. Like you're scaring them away. Like go home or something. I think a lot of men look when you start doing stuff like that for like validation, you start buying nice cars, right? People don't buy cars because they like the car. They buy the car to impress other people.
Mm-hmm.
They buy the car to say, oh, look at me. I'm driving this nice car. Girls don't like it.
Most people.
So I think I respect people more when they do stuff that's aligned with them. Let's say you buy a car because you like cars. That's different than buying a car to impress people. Let's say you date a girl because you like the girl. That's different than like freaking dating a girl with a shitty personality that you don't even like because she's pretty. So I think as a man, you have to really determine what do I like and make sure that you're doing it for you as opposed to doing it for anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, since I was 12 years old, I had a picture of a Lambo on the back of my screensaver.
That's right? Fire.
I love nice cars just because, like, you know, you grow up, you play fucking like Forza Motorsport, you play video games, you're like driving cars. Like, I know you had the BMW, the i8.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I used to love the i8, bro, back when it came out. And it's just like, I think, and I tweeted about this the other day, bro, but like, I said free, and I think, I don't know if you know Michael Pick, but I think he said it first, and I kind of rephrased it, but freedom is having the ability to do whatever you want, having the power to do whatever you want, but exercising the ability and option not to.
Boom, that's fire. I talk about all the time. I feel like a lot of people only do things because they can. Like they don't have options. They're only doing what's available to them.
Yep.
And I don't like that with anyone. If you're only doing something because that's the only thing you can do, that's not freedom. You're not a boss for that. Like, a boss is able to do anything and select what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So that's like a big part of that.
When do you think you became like a boss, right? Have the mentality of like, when was it, when you quit car sales? Is it when you said, I'm going to go into business for myself? Like, when was it, after you went into business for yourself? Like, when did you think, or when do you think that you started to adopt and internalize that mentality? Because that you have to, because I personally believe like you can be a natural leader, right? You can be someone like me who is a natural leader, but the thing is leadership is cultivated. That yeah. mentality is cultivated. That dominance is cultivated. Mm-hmm. What do you think that started to happen for you?
So what's interesting is like, I don't feel like I was a really anti-social person. Great example. In high school, girls did not like me. And for me, I think it built almost a little bit of an insecurity where when I first started making money, all I wanted to do was like girls. I would spend all my money on like women. I blew like $1 million. I have proof because people don't believe me. 2019, I think that year I cleared $1 million. I don't have any of that money anymore. It's all gone because I spent it all on trips, like going crazy with women. If people scroll on my Instagram, like the 2019, they'll see all of the adventures I did. I was one of those guys. And when I look back, I like almost cringe and I regret it. I don't want to say regret it because I don't, because it's like, I'm still fucking cool. But like when now, like when I look at my life, I'm like, I wish I wouldn't have done some of the things I did, because like now it's least less respectable. You know, I think guys are in a weird place where they're like, oh, he's the man if he does that. I don't really look up to people like that.
Yeah.
I think a man is someone that can like, that exercises control, that doesn't just like blow all their money. Cause like, when I look back at it, fuck, if I would have saved that money, I would have been 10 times richer.
I mean, you could have spent $500,000 instead of $1 million and still probably had similar experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
So you answered my question already. I was going to say, would you do it again?
Here's the thing. I wouldn't take it back, but I wouldn't do it again, if that makes sense. Like if I had $1 million right now, I wouldn't do that same exact thing. But I don't take that back. If I had a time machine and I could like go back and not do it, I wouldn't do it. Cause here's my thing, right? Like when I look at a lot of people with a lot of money and they don't have any experiences in life, I really like look at it. I'm like, bro, you might have more money than me, but if I lost everything today, I'd still have more experiences than you.
You can't take experience back.
You cannot take it. Listen, the money, anything can happen, but the experience is mine forever. I could lose everything. I can go broke. I could move back to my mom's house. I still have my experiences. I still did that shit.
It's like, what stories are you going to tell your grandkids?
Exactly. Oh, I saved all my money until I was 50 and then I got married and I had kids. It's like, what a boring fucking life.
Bro, I tell every young guy, bro, that I talk to, they're like, oh, well, like, you know, I see you traveling. Like, bro, I've been to 11 countries in the past year, right?
Fire.
And I spent I didn't spend anywhere close to $1 million. I don't think I've made over $1 million in my career yet, because I kind of really just got started, like really going hard in the past year. I think this next year it'll be a 7-figure year. And actually last week was the one year anniversary where I quit my sales job.
Fire. But
bro, like I looked at how much I, like even on like shit, like going out to dinner and like Uber Eats. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, like that's a Ferrari payment. I'm like, I'm like, yo, like I'm spending a Ferrari payment a month on, like, you know, like even like fucking like, it's like $7,000 a month on like just going out to dinner, having a good time with my boys, right? Having a good time with my girl. And so it's like, I went to Europe for 2.5 months, 3 months last summer, spent 30 something G's, like just shit like that. Like I didn't go crazy, but I went relatively, I kind of did the same thing where I just went crazy.
Like, well, no, cause you still got the memories though. That's what matters. You can't buy those memories. Like you spent $30,000, like cool, but the memories you have are priceless. It sounds so cliche. Yeah. But it's like, I say it every single time. I'd rather go broke by the time I'm 40 than be rich when I'm 40 and like not enjoy my life.
Not have any experience. Exactly, dude. Like every young guy, I think, should get experience. Maybe don't go as crazy as we did. I mean, dude, there's like 100-something grand this year where I don't even know where the fuck it went. And it's 6 months. I'm like, bro, I don't even know where that shit.
Well, it's expensive just to be alive, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Here in Miami, especially. Miami, I feel like everything's expensive. You go to dinner, you're like, oh, it's going to be a light dinner. No more than like $300-$400, right? The bill comes back. It's like $1,200, $2,000. You're like,
every dinner.
Oh, how does this happen? And it's just because you order, like you just, yeah, bring it. Not realizing that all this shit adds up.
Bro, I was out at after we took a yacht out the Sunday after my birthday. And like, I don't know if you know Ricardo, but I was with Ricardo, and Ricardo came back from space at like 9 a.m. He stayed up all night and he was like, yo, let's go jet skiing. I'm like, all right, fuck it. He's like convincing me to go jet skiing. Man didn't sleep for like 30 hours. I'm like, bro, okay, let's go jet skiing. Pull up, no jet skis. I'm like, all right, Nikki Beach is around the corner. You want to go to Nikki Beach? $2,000 down.
Jeez.
I was just like, bro.
It's like, yeah, I mean, this? That's Miami, bro. That's Miami.
I was like, what is it? But it, you know, it is expensive to be alive. And I think, bro, people are getting fucked right now just with the financial system.
I like something you said there. And I want to touch on that before we move on to this next thing, because that's a whole like can of worms. It's expensive to be alive. When people say it's not, it's because they're not living. And it's like so true. That's people true. Are like, oh, it's cheap. I'm doing this. Yeah, you live a lame fucking life. I'm sorry, but that's not for me.
Yeah.
And it goes back to like how bad you want it. I think anything success related, people like pitch a lot of skills. Oh, you should get into marketing. You should get into sales. You should get into this. At the end of the day, it's just how bad you want it.
Absolutely.
Just how bad you want it. You don't have to learn anything specific. Like there are skills you can learn, but the skills are easy. They're easy to come by. You can buy them for like $100, right? Wanting it though, like that motivation, doing the 100 cold calls a day, putting in 12-hour days, like you can't buy that. That has to come from inside you.
It's earned, bro. All experience, you can buy some experience, but you have to earn the rest.
Yeah.
And like, I faintly remember this, the YouTube video of when you started your supplement company. And you were like, yeah, I'm reaching out to all these Instagram influencers. I got like 1,000 influencers or something. And like, so I don't know how much you know about me, but it's like, dude, like, so we have an education company. We teach sales, marketing, how to start a marketing agency, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of similar to your course. I haven't been through your stuff, but I know you have some products available.
Yeah.
And literally like so many people, like 80, like, I forget who said this, but like 80% of make money online coaching or like success coaching is just mentality. If you literally want to be successful, like there was a kid, he was 17. He's like, yeah, he's like, and it's a really interesting story. He came and we got on a call with him because we did like just free, like 15-minute, 30-minute one-on-one coaching calls, right? With like a lot of people and inside. And I was just like, he came and he was like, here's all the stuff I've learned. Here's what I've done to move the needle. And I said, I was like, bro, I was like, everything you've done, like not to shit on you, but everything you've done is bullshit.
Yeah.
If you really wanted this, like he's like, yeah, my parents are calling this a scam. They're not sure if it's going to work. And like, bro, my shit's $44 a month right now, as I'm recording this. We're going to increase the price. We're $12 a week. It's like, bro, like if you really want to make this your thing, you find 1,000 leads, you hit each lead up 10 times. That's going to take you 6 months of work though.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take you 6 months.
Yeah.
12 hours a day, 6 months. You want to know why, bro? Cause I've been there. I've done it. Right. Every month we had 250, 300 accounts. It took me the month. I didn't even get through all of them.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think when it comes to people just work, like men specifically, because I feel like there's this big, like men are being demasculinized. Absolutely. I don't even know if that's a word, but I post something on TikTok. Every time I post this on TikTok, it always goes viral. I always post like, I personally, and I could be wrong with this, we're in a very sensitive generation. I think men should take care of women. They should protect and provide always. I think it's a man's job.
I agree.
I think a lot of men are very like opposed to that. It frustrates me when I see a man like going 50-50 or like being mean to women because they want to go 50-50 or like, they're like, oh, she should pay for half. And it's like, it's your job as a guy to go 50-50, you know, or not, I mean, to not go 50-50, to protect and provide. That's your job as a man. And I think women have great intuition. So they can sense that. They could sense like, that's why I'm not a big fan of like these little pickup artist dudes. Cause you were saying like, oh, I just spoke to this and it was like a dating coach. I don't like this dating coach stuff. Cause I feel like a lot of it is they try and teach you, maybe I'm wrong. I haven't looked into it. They try to teach you how to trick women when you shouldn't be having, if you have to trick a woman to sleep with you, you shouldn't be sleeping with women. You should be doing your own shit.
You're a loser. If you got to split a $300 dinner, you got bigger problems, bro.
You got to split if you go to the club with your boys and split a $400 bottle, it's like, I don't know. So that's like my whole take on it, right?
I agree.
I think ultimately anything in life, nice things, money, women even, I think by not wanting it and just putting in the work on yourself is the best way to get it.
Absolutely, bro. Absolutely. I want to let's actually talk about this, because I put something out the other day, and there's so many people in the world, mm-hmm. especially on Twitter, YouTube, especially with the rise of a lot of this type of content, like the red pill space, right? I found this whole red pill space when I was 18, right? Mm-hmm. And the narrative has changed so much fundamentally from what it used to be. The narrative literally used to be, do the work on yourself, go to the gym, work on your business, get your finances in order, get cool friends, mm-hmm. like build good relationships with people and girls, especially. The narrative has changed into such manipulative tactics because guys are just so desperate and such fucking losers in their lives that they feel like they, like you just said, they need to trick or manipulate a girl into getting with them, or they need to split a bill because they need to be out. They want to be alpha, or they don't open a door or call a girl a fucking Uber, bro. There's so many young kids too. And it fucking frustrates me because there's a lot of really good content, a lot of really good content that I've read and that's helped me. And it's absolutely actionable and is beautiful stuff. And it's a beautiful message into the world. But this other shit, it's like, I don't hold the door for girls. I don't open the car door for my girl. I don't call my girl an Uber. I don't do this. I don't do, like, I make her split the bar. Like, are you fucking nuts?
I hate the narrative that, like, I think there's a narrative that's been misconstrued. And they always say, nice guys finish last. Nice guys don't finish last, right? Pushovers finish last, but there's a difference between a nice guy and a pushover.
Absolutely.
Most guys, when they're like talking to a girl, they're like extra like nice, and they don't want to, they're like, oh, like they're pussies, right? They're just saying stuff to get laid. And it's like, women can sense that. Women are intuitive creatures. I think as a man, like, if you just do what you think is correct and you stand by your beliefs, that's the best way to do it. And I think by actively like trying to get laid, I think all these guys actively try to get laid. I want to just make something really clear. I have no game. I see a lot of guys like talking about like, oh, I could talk to any woman I want. I have no game. I'll say that on the podcast very, very clearly. I'm like shy, bro. I can't go up to a girl and talk to her. But what I do is like, I work a lot on myself, and I make sure that like, I have no game, but I'm still successful, I guess, in that sense. It's Here's a great example.
Just the hair, bro.
It's just the hair.
It's just the hair.
Here's a great example. I was going to go out with one of my boys. He has a little bit of money too. We're going out of Miami. And this dude literally goes up to me. He's like, watch, when we get to the club, I'm going to talk to all the girls. I'm going to bring all the girls to our table. Shh, listen, once I'm done talking to them, maybe you could have one. He was acting real like cool, real hard. He was doing his thing. And I was like, all right, man, like, cool. You know, I was there for like a good time. I was like, all right, let's do it. Let's see what you got. So we pull up to the club and we get our table. They start bringing our bottles. And keep in mind, it's real awkward because it's like, we didn't walk into the club with girls. It was just me who can't talk to girls.
Ends too.
Yeah, it's me who can't talk to girls, him and like one of our other friends. And like, he's like, don't worry, I got you guys. Just give me like, let me get a little like drink in me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, bro, go talk to them. Like, this is our table. And keep in mind, this is like a year ago. This is before I was in a relationship. I'm like, go talk to them. He's like, yeah, just let me warm up. And then eventually, like, he starts trying to go talk to girls. And they're kind of like, oh, we're going to stay here. We're going to stay here. Like, he was just being weird. And I was like, I don't know what type of YouTube shit you're watching, but it's not working. So then literally, I was like, and keep in mind, like I said, I can't talk to girls. So I'm like, all right, let's just chill. It's a boys' night, whatever. Like somewhere throughout the night, maybe 20, 30 minutes later, a girl and her like two friends come up to me and they're like, oh my God. Cause this is at the time I was like really going viral on TikTok. Every video I was posting, 5 million views. She's like, you're the guy on TikTok. I see you all the time. I send your videos to her. And like, for me, I was just kind of like, oh, you want to just come party with us? And they're like, down. So like all these girls came, and it's a weird thing. Like since they came, more girls came, like it was just more comfortable. Yeah. And then we ended up partying with these girls, not even because my friend, just because like I was working hard on my own shit. And it just happened to like,
but you were together. Absolutely congruent too. You were chilling, which seems like what you do. Like, cause you don't seem like, I mean, you seem like, and just the vibe I get from you, bro, is like, you seem like when you fucking party, you party, right? Yeah. You seem like, I would love to party with you sometime, bro. Like a good fucking time. But also like, you got to stay congruent. And like, dude, honestly, like, if I wouldn't really like, I remember like these guys were saying like, oh, I talked to 10, 20 girls and that. I'm like, bro, what? You're talking to 10, 20? I'm like, yo, maybe I'll talk to three.
Yeah.
Maybe I will talk to three. Like, it's just like, it doesn't make any sense to me, dude. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's, I already knew how the story ended. Like, of course,
I think guys put so much value on it.
Every guy who goes to the club, they go to the bar, look, I'm going to get all these girls. Oh, I'm going to get all these numbers. I'm going to get all these girls. And like, they have that bravado about them. Yeah. Regardless of how much money's in their bank account, bro, they still got no game. And it comes off as super fucking needy. And it's not even cool to do, because that's just harassment at that point, bro. I was at the Wharf. I forget. I think it was in February. I was at the Wharf. And it was actually the night I met, you know, Ty Frankel. Yeah. I met Ty in person that night, but there was like, and then I saw a couple other of the homies, and like, they were like, yo, like, what's going on? Like, yo, apparently there's this giant group of Telegram pickup artists at the Wharf in Miami, bro.
Yeah.
And these dudes were running around like spam approaching every single girl. And I'm like sitting there, I'm like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah, because it's like, I don't know, bro. I think like anything, and this applies, this is just a rule of the universe, rule of life. The moment you start doing something for a specific outcome instead of doing it for yourself, and you lose that congruency, because this ties back into what we said, you're less likely to get it.
Yeah.
The people that like try to, a great example, I think the reason you work hard isn't for the money. I think you do it because it fills some internal like need that you have to win.
Absolutely.
You know? And from my experience too, when I work because I want to work, because I want to be great, my work is better. I make more money. The second I stop and I say, oh, let me do this for a quick buck, I don't make any money.
Yeah.
Same thing for girls. Like with my girl, there's actually a story of like how I guess we started talking, because it wasn't even on some like weird shit. She's in Miami. She's European. So like she just got her visa. She came to Miami.
Kind of European.
She's German, but she lived in Sweden.
My girl's from Sweden. My girl's Swedish, but she grew up in LA.
Yeah. So she just came to Miami, and she was supposed to stay with a friend. It didn't work out. Like something happened with them. So she literally calls me, and I'm kind of like, I was leaving. I was going to Costa Rica. I was like, my place is going to be empty. You got to have your own room, whatever. Come through. She's like, okay, cool. Whatever. The first night she was here, I didn't even, cause my intention was never to do that. My intention was just to be a cool guy, you know, just like be chill. Nothing could have happened. And like, it would have been fine. I literally let her stay in the other room, right? Like I was a real gentleman about it. Like I did this, did that. And I think by not chasing it, by not being like desperate like that, by just honestly like letting the chips fall where they may. Cause at the end of the day, women are the ones that get to choose.
Yep.
As men, like we don't get to choose like, oh, you're going to sleep with me, cause like that's rape, you know? But like women get to choose like, oh, I like this guy. I'm going to like be with him and like sleep with him, whatever.
Yeah.
I left her alone. And to her, I was kind of like, oh damn, this guy's like, he's kind of doing his own thing, and that energy doesn't come off. So then eventually like we hit it off, and then we, you know, it was like, cool. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So,
but also dude, it comes from you just not being needy.
I can see that.
Like you're not needy. You're doing your own thing. Like that's really attractive. Like, but you got to think like girls, especially like girls who are really, really pretty. They're so used to that.
They're used to
dudes being desperate, wanting something from them all the time. And when you're the guy who literally genuinely, because you're congruent, you're grounded in your core, you don't actually need anything from them. It's really fucking attractive.
I can see that.
Like they're there because you enjoy them being there. Like, and you're not needy about it. Like you don't need anything from them. And it's just like, you're just chilling. Right. Yeah.
And I tell someone all the time, like I have everything I need.
Yeah.
So anything on top of this is just extra.
Absolutely. Right.
If a beautiful relationship comes from it, that's extra. That's like the universe just giving me more. But like I have everything I need just within myself.
Exactly. Exactly. Like I tell my chick all the time, like, I was already happy. You just make me a little happier.
Yeah.
Right.
Facts. I was already happy.
Happy. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if you're crushing it in life, like you're already really happy. Like you got your fitness right, your money right, everything's going well, you got your boys, like everything is good. It's just everything else on top of that is extra.
Yeah. There's like a real like statistic. It was like people who are secure are like when they get into relationships, they're more likely to have secure relationships. I think a lot of the work comes from yourself.
I absolutely agree. And I believe the word, so you have like codependent toxic relationships. We've all had them. You have codependent toxic relationships. And then you have other ones, I think the word is interdependence, where like you guys are there because you enjoy each other. You don't need anything from each other. And it's just a beautiful thing that happens when you come together.
Right. And it's like one of those things too, that I think the reason this works so well, because I've been with girls that just stay with me and like, they're just here for like fucking, I don't know, for months at a time. They just stay here. But like with my girl, it's very clear. She doesn't need me. She got her own stuff going, right? Like she's like successful in her own right. So the only reason for her to be with me is because she genuinely likes me. Yeah. And vice versa. Like we don't necessarily need each other, but we want each other. So I think that's a beautiful thing that comes from it.
And that's a beautiful premise to have, to build a relationship on top of, not because you're in a fucked up situation and you need somebody there. You just, or you're fucked up mentally or financially or anything like that. And you have to like be with the other person because you need to split rent, or like you just can't get anything else. And you're just so used to the toxicity. Like it's genuinely a beautiful, and that's what mine is right now as well. It's just like, it's a beautiful premise to have a relationship on, and beautiful things come from it. And it's like absolutely nothing but love.
And I think there's another thing that kind of happens with guys. Guys think it's cool to have like multiple women. I'm not against like that shit. Like, but I do believe that like having a relationship is better. I think a lot of guys put too much, like a lot of guys too many times are like, oh, I want to have like 10 bitches. And it's like, no, that's not cool. You know, I feel like you're being fed information that it's cool, but it's not really like cool to me.
It's a lot of work, bro. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Could you imagine right now with the businesses that you have going on and all the things that you have going on, having to manage 10 different relationships on top of that?
Yeah.
Or you'd go crazy. It'd be all your entire day.
And I feel like people lie to themselves when they say they need that, because I'm very happy with my girl. You know? What happened?
You seem like it, man.
Appreciate it, bro.
Instagram stories, bro. You seem like it down in Mexico, chilling,
vacation. You know, we just be hanging out, man. We're going to the Bahamas next month.
Oh, that's sick, dude. I'm taking I'm taking a bunch of the Twitter guys. Well, we're all going in. We're getting a villa over in Naxos, my favorite place in the world, over in Greece. And then Luke, you know, Luke's bringing his girl, and then I'm bringing my girl, so they can do the blonde Dragon Ball Z fusion dance and talk while we go drink beers. But why do you think that relationships are better than having 10 girls?
So I don't know. I think because I hear a lot of this stuff, especially like the Andrew Tate stuff, and I think he's coming strictly from like a biological perspective. But I feel like this life shit has a spiritual aspect to it too. And again, to each their own. But for me, I know what I like. You know, like you can't say one thing is wrong over the other. I think ultimately it just really depends on you. And yeah. I think with life, that like there's a spiritual aspect attached to it, where it's like you find a person, you start a family, you have kids, and it's like a beautiful union together.
Mm-hmm.
Versus this life of like having like 10 girlfriends is not appealing to me at all. Like, I don't want it. Sounds like work. And then what? We're going to have a family? Like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, right?
You have 10 families. More is not, but more is not always better.
More is not always better.
More is not always better.
So I think for me, that spiritual aspect of like life is where I see it. And I'm like, you know what? I like this relationship thing. I think it's better for me. I can grow from this, and vice versa. Like, it's cool to have a partner in life.
I agree. I think it's a beautiful thing. And you know, something I've been thinking about, Renee, is like a lot of now, especially with the amount of content that's available, and like, you know, the red pill space and like all this other stuff that's being kind of perpetuated right now across, and it's constant and it's going mainstream now, right? Like with you know, and I like the Fresh and Fit guys stuff. I listen to their stuff. I like it. And it's like, but there comes to a certain point where like the world begins to jade you, and you start to believe that you have to live a certain way, right? You have to believe that you need 4 girlfriends and you need all of the things that come with that. When in reality, a lot of us as children are we just want to live a fairy tale.
Yeah.
We just want something beautiful. Like we want what we wanted as kids, because as kids, we grow up and we don't grow up and you're like, you need to have 4 girlfriends and 4 different families and 4 different wives.
Yeah.
Like, but you know, when we grow up, it's like, you know, like as a young man, you just like, especially like, I mean, when I was like 16, 17, dude, like I didn't start like really like getting any girls. So I was like 18, bro. Like, and I'm open. I'm like super open about that, because it's like, I started to do the work on myself, like instead of sitting in my house playing video games as a little kid. Like, but you grow up and you're just like, yeah, like I want like a girl, I want a beautiful relationship, a beautiful family. Like I want things in life. I want the things in life that, like, you know, you see in the movies, right? You yeah. want a fairy tale. And it's like, I think the world starts to jade you when you start to not only live a certain way, because I think both of us have experienced a kind of a crazy lifestyle, especially like in Miami and LA and like even like in Philly, like just a crazy lifestyle where like you're seeing a bunch of different girls, like it's not the most fulfilling thing sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's a headache for the most part. But yeah. I can say that like when you're a kid, like you grow up and you're like, yeah, like I want a beautiful relationship. Like I want to, you know, I want to have somebody.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with that.
And I think your priorities change, especially maybe as you get older, but your priorities begin to change because when you live a certain way for so long, right? Like say you live a certain way for like 7 years, 8 years, 10 years of your life, right? Like within like the constant partying, multiple girls, kind of like this endless kind of cycle. I think you start to live as you live. And when you stay in a situation for so long, you think that that is the only way that you can live life.
Yeah.
Same thing with broke people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm working at McDonald's, I'm working my job, and I don't think I can get out of it. I don't think I can do anything. Like, especially when they're young too. It's like when you live such a certain way, you think that's the only way life can be lived.
Right.
It's not true. Life is seasons, and you go through life recalibrating all the time and pivoting and focusing on different priorities and different things. And as you grow up, your priorities begin to change.
For sure.
So let's talk about some other things, man. So how old are you? What, 26?
I'm 26, man. 26. I'm about to turn 27 in 2 months.
Oh, happy early birthday, bro.
Appreciate you, man. Well, I guess going back to like that, what you were saying too, as far as like societal conditioning, because I'm very anti-societal conditioning, right? And it starts with like college. I think college is the biggest fucking scam in the world.
Yep.
And I think it's wrong to sell people college based on like, hey, this is how you make money. Cause that's completely opposite. You don't make money by going to college. College mm-hmm. is a fucking scam in that sense, right? Now, if you want to be a doctor and you have to do some sort of like advanced education, college is fine. But society conditions people that, hey, you need this to make money, which is completely bullshit. Completely and it's a scam and it rips people off. Yeah. Cause I can guarantee if I were to buy your course, you would buy my course. We would learn more in college than we would anywhere else. I mean, we would learn more in our course than we would in college or anywhere else.
Absolutely.
So I think college is the biggest scam, and I hate the societal conditioning. I hate like all this like hot girl summer stuff going on right now. And you see it around a lot in Miami where it's like, they made it cool for girls to like be hoes. And it's like, that's not cool. I don't agree with that. You know, I'm very open-minded. I don't like, I personally don't care what a girl's body count is. I still don't agree that women should be hoes. Like that's just not my thing.
I agree. Absolutely.
And you could say the same thing for like rap music when it comes to guys. Guys be like, make it cool to do drugs and like sip lean, Percocet. It's like, I don't know. What are you teaching people? What are you like glamorizing here?
Yeah.
Are you so far away from the things that are going to make you happy?
Leaving the world better than you found it. I know impact is probably very important to you, right?
Yeah.
Same for me, right? Legacy, impact, right? I mean, of course the world's going to blow up and the sun explodes 2 billion years from now and everything's going to be worthless. But that being said, dude, it's like right now for this moment, this present moment, because this present moment, the present moment's all we got. Impact is huge. And it's like, are you genuinely leaving the world better than you found it, bro? I love the feeling of, especially with like the education stuff and like Twitter and like the DMs and, you know, guys come in, like they get their first client. Right. Or like they go from zero and they make like $5,000 and they're like, yo, you just changed my fucking life, bro. Like yeah. I needed this and I didn't even know I needed it. And going back to the whole girls being hoes thing is like, dude, like you know who Castillo is?
No.
He's this like British like rapper but he's like doing like this like show. But I saw this like interview he's doing. He's like it's like one of those like YouTube like dating things where he's like sitting across from a girl, like talking to him, like having a date with them and shit. And they're talking about the girls who go out to Dubai and like get like shit on. And he tells this girl, he's like, look, if you go to Dubai, he had this whole premise of like, do you think like they're getting like Mr. Whippy, which is like whipped cream. He's like, do you think they're using Mr. Whippy with it? And he's like, Listen, if you go to Dubai and you get Mr. Whippy, you can't be wifey.
It's true.
It's true.
It's true. And it's true. I think also, like, so I think right now in society also, I think that's a fair thing to say, but I feel like a lot of men get they can't take that back. Cause personally, like, let's say flip it, right? Like I try to do everything fairly. If we're going to talk about fair, let's talk about fairly. As a man, as soon as a girl says, as a man, it's your job to pay for everything, men get fucking butthurt. You know? So it's like, if you're going to get butthurt, then you can't say, oh, like, you can't say that thing also. Because women could be like, oh, well, I should be able to do what I want to do. So I think there has to be congruency there also. If you hold, like, you can't only hold women accountable, you have to hold men accountable.
Absolutely.
Because, like, I think a woman being a hoe is the same as a dude being a bum. You know? Like
that. Like,
because people always talk about it like, oh, like there's a dude and he's a bum. It's like, cool. Like that's the equivalent of a girl being a hoe, I think. If a dude is a bum, it's the equivalent of a girl being a hoe.
I see what you're saying. I agree.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I see. Yeah. Like the whole.
And there's a lot of like loser ass dudes too, man. There's lots of dudes that like sit at home and like jerk off and like fucking play video games all day.
You ever seen George Carlin?
Who?
George Carlin was a comedian. He died. He has this bit, right? About, it's this bit about people who deserve to die. Right? And he's just talking about dickhead people, right? And he's, I'll send it to you after. It's fucking hilarious. But he's like, man, another person who deserves to die is these dudes sitting at home, fucking watching TV and jerking off all day. Because if you're sitting at home, jerking off all day, you ain't causing any fucking trouble. You ain't doing shit. Right. And that was the whole premise of the whole comedy skit was like people like dickheads who aren't doing shit, who are literally bums. And like as a man, like especially like if you're really honest with yourself, like and I truly believe this and I say this with absolute conviction. You will look at people like me and you. And if you are not angry at us for what we've achieved or look at us and are not inspired, there's probably something wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Because I think you and I, especially, and from what I've seen from you and your content, we live very beautiful lives, very fun lives. Mm-hmm. Right. We do great things. We make awesome impacts in the world. We're going to make even bigger. We've only just begun. And that's very scary to think about. It's really fucking cool, too. But like, we've only just begun. We make great impacts on the world. And I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with like living a very comfortable life and a chilling life if that's what you want and that's what you want to do. But I think if a lot of guys nowadays are honest about themselves, like, they should be inspired or they should be angry or they should be jealous. The only issue is the guys who are jealous and get all butt hurt about it.
Yes, bro. Exactly.
But I think we are literally living examples. You can come from, I grew up, pretty much single mom, like straight up, like we, and came from absolute fucking nothing. A lot of people on Twitter right now think I'm like some rich kid who like inherited my dad's money or something. That's
the worst, bro. I hear that all the fucking time. They're like, oh, daddy's money. It's like, I didn't have a dad. So it's like, fuck you, you know?
Bro, like it doesn't make any sense. Oh, you're just a rich kid. You're lucky because you're 6'4" and you're tall and you're good looking. I'm like, bro, I was 16, 17 years old. I was like six foot one. I was like 130 pounds, skin and bones. I had no game and I got no girls.
I think
now my chick is bad as fuck. I'm making money and I'm doing great things in the world. And I'm even more in shape than I was 4 years ago. It's possible, homie. It's possible, bro. Like it's absolutely possible. And we are living proof and we show it every day.
Well, I think what it is just a reflection of their insecurities. Absolutely. When you have someone, because I was the type of person when I saw someone winning, I would look at them and I wouldn't be angry. I would be more like, how did they do that? How can I do that? Right? I never felt once like, oh, they don't deserve that. I deserve that. There's no entitlement there, right? I felt like I wanted it, but I was willing to do whatever it took to get it.
And you did.
I think a lot of these people, and I know this from like flexing a lot, I'll post bottles in the club, I'll throw money in the club, post my car, post my place, post me on vacation doing something crazy. These people would see it. And they'd be like, they would like get angry and jealous and not in a good way. I could be angry, but I'm like, here's a great example. If I see someone with something I want and I'm angry about it, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna show them. I'm gonna go work and shit on their whole life. You know, like, oh, you're on a 50 foot yacht. I'm gonna be on a 200 foot yacht. Shit on your entire life.
Smile, man.
You know, so
the lives we live are just revenge. yeah. to everybody who told us we couldn't do it.
Exactly. So it's like, well, these people that are getting butthurt about it, instead of turning that into productive energy, I think there's something wrong with them. And the only way they can like let it out is by fucking, it makes them feel better by like trying to shit on our lives. It's like, we're good.
Yeah.
You know, my penthouse has a view of the ocean. I have fucking 2,000 square feet. Like, I have nothing to say to anyone.
Yeah, your place looks sick from what I can see, bro. You're in South Beach, right?
I'm in Edgewater.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Like, on top of that, like, even something as far as like people getting butthurt and like quitting, just being a quitter, yeah. right? Like, imagine like, and what's your course about?
So right now it's almost like I'm just teaching people like skills. I've gotten like coaches in there. And I'm teaching people just skills to make money. Like, my main thing was social media marketing is how I started. And then e-commerce, launched a course on that, like, I want to say 2 years ago. Then I was like, this is cool, but I feel like other people want to learn other stuff. And I had friends that like, they knew this stuff. They're making like $1 million doing this stuff, but they didn't have the brand that I have of just like going out there. I built a pretty big following. So I was like, you could just teach in mine and then you could make some money off that too.
Yeah.
So we teach like stock trading, crypto, e-commerce, SMMA, high ticket sales, like you name it, we're kind of doing a little bit of everything.
How many people do you have inside?
1,000.
I'm sure you have a really good success rate.
It's better with the accountability.
That's
better with the accountability. Because I think telling people, like, being a little bit mean to people is okay when it comes to this stuff. Cause like this, like, entrepreneurship is just a competition.
Absolutely.
It's just a competition. Like, even me, and I think it could be a friendly competition. I'm not going to try and shit on you or bring you down. Gary Vee says something I really like. And it's who can build the biggest skyscraper without knocking another person's down.
Who can build it's a competition to build the biggest building without beating anybody up.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm so big on that. And I think it's okay to be a little bit mean to people if they're being soft. Cause this, like, if people are being soft, I had a video that went viral on TikTok, got like 400,000 views. If you want an easy life, go get a fucking job. Don't come in this house. Cause as soon as you step into this like domain, I'm going to try and fuck you up. David's going to try and fuck you up. We could like you. Like, it has nothing to do with like liking you or disliking you. It's not personal, but at the same time, like, you got to work. If not, me and him are going to crush you.
It's not personal. And the thing is like, dude, like, we are going to run laps around everybody, work tirelessly. Like, dude, like, even like recording this podcast, like, I think I slept for 30 minutes. I took a 30 minute nap and then I had some calls I had to do for info product I just launched. And then I got to have Renee on my podcast, bro. But it's like, dude, like, we still are working. Like, we haven't made it yet.
Yeah.
I had this saying, and you're going to like this, I think. When I was in sales, dude, and when I really, really started doing well, I stopped comparing myself to everybody else. Mm-hmm. You can't win and be looking at the guy next to you. It's like that picture of Michael Phelps when he was in the Olympics and the guy next to him was literally looking at him to see where he was. Yeah. When you stay in your lane and you focus on you and where you're at, like, I always say, start every day at zero.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if you did $1 million in sales that day, right?
Yeah.
Start every day like you're at zero, like you're just starting out. Don't compare. You can't compare yourself to, like, even like us right now. Like, it could be very easy and be like, oh yeah, Renee's a year older than me, 2 years older than me. He's made a couple $1 million more than me. Like, he's in a penthouse in Miami. Like, he's objectively, like, financially, you're probably in a better situation, right? But me not comparing myself to you and like us just talking like as new friends is something completely different. It's like, so many guys will look at people like us, and people, especially starting out in this game, will look at guys like me, like you, like Luke, Sebastian Georgiou, Iman, like, mm-hmm. will look at these guys and be like, oh, that guy's so much far ahead. Or like, even guys like rappers who look up to Drake and stuff, like, yeah. or people that have built these giant empires over literally decades and compare themselves to them when they're literally at taking their first, they haven't even taken their first step. Mm-hmm. They haven't even walked out the fucking door yet.
Yeah.
So to anybody listening, right? Just talk to a listener real quick. Like, you guys got to make sure you start every day at zero. And
facts.
You can't compare yourself to anybody else that's doing better than you, because it's your life and you have to live your own life. You live your own story. You need to live a life where you're the genuine hero in your own story, and you're not sitting there looking up to everybody else, trying to copy everyone and be like them.
And better is subjective too. Cause I look at some of my friends. I have a friend, my boy Kenzo, he does Amazon stuff. Dude, probably gonna clear like at least 10, 20, $30 million this year. He's fucking 21, right? I could look at that and be like, damn, he has so much more money than me. Dude has a fucking, he lives in the most expensive building in Miami. He pays probably like 50 grand a month, 60 grand a month just in rent.
That's he a has lot.
A, no, he stays at the Porsche Tower. So he literally parks his car in the garage and the elevator takes his car up to his living room. So he literally wakes up and he has his fucking like $500,000 car sitting in his living room.
That's cheap.
He's 21 years old. He's a fucking beast. When I look at him and when I look at me, I could either be frustrated or I could just accept it for what it is. Cause the way I look at it too, right? I experienced, when I was 21, I was still kind of like making money doing car sales. I still got to experience that and I value those experiences still. So in the same way that this is his experience, like my experience was the car sales thing. I appreciate that. I wouldn't switch lives if I could. I think everyone needs to come from a place of like, this is, cause the thing is, I love my life. It's a beautiful thing. You probably love your life. It's a beautiful thing. Everyone's going to have their own, no one's perfect. Everyone's going to have their own like flaw or something going wrong with their life. So it's like, you got to learn to accept yours and love yours more, like instead of asking for someone else's.
It's like the J. Cole song, bro. Love yours.
Love yours. Facts.
You have to. And you like, I remember I was watching a Harry Jowsey podcast one time. I was listening to it. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about his boy when he was 16, got all these girls. And he was like this like 6'4", like gangly motherfucker, like skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like swimming in his clothes or something. And Harry Jowsey, he was telling the story of how he asked him. He's like, yo, like, how are you so like confident? And he's like, dude, like, how are you so confident when you're like, you know, not the best looking or whatever he said. And the kid said to him, he was like, we only get one body, right? So you might as well just be confident in it. You only get one life. So you have to do shit to love it.
Yeah. Pointless to hate your life. I only focus on things I can control. So it's like, as soon as I learn how to love my life, I can enjoy it. I think social media does that too. Me and my girl talk about this a lot because she has a huge platform on social media. And we talk about like, on social media, there's lots of pressure and people will automatically compare themselves to others.
Yep.
So when they see my life, they live their life, they see it and it seems so much better. But yeah. I want to make it clear, like everyone has their own shit, right? Like you need to stop comparing yourself to others. I think comparing results and comparing the life is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with results, we need to be objective, but the actual life, it's all subjective.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Like,
right? Like it's easy to say someone, if I say, oh, he has more money than me, that's objective. But for me to say, oh, he has more money than me and that's better, that's subjective. Because someone could have more money than me, but I don't look at it as a better thing. I don't want to be fucking Elon Musk. That's a lot of work, bro.
Pressure.
Yeah, I'm not down for that. I'm happier in my body.
Yeah.
So I think that's the way I look at it.
Also, he's like 48 and you're 26.
Facts.
Like, let's talk about business for a little bit.
Yeah, bro.
We working on it, bro.
So honestly, I'm just building these e-commerce brands. Hold up. Let me grab. I'll grab them. I have them sitting here on the fucking. Let's do a walk. We'll do a walk.
Do a walkthrough.
Do a walkthrough. Let me see. I don't even know if I could. Oh, there we go. We're going to do a walkthrough. So I literally have fucking all my products right there because it reminds me every morning while I'm here.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm doing the e-commerce stuff. The little view of the ocean.
So got the camera correct. It's like white from the sun, but
no, I feel you. Look at this. Oh, there you go. You got the ocean right here. You got the extended balcony. This is the workspace. Got the little spiral staircase. It's a vibe, man. So I'm just building the two e-commerce brands.
It's Unlimiter and what's the other one?
Unlimiter, and then the other one is So Right. You've probably heard about that one. That one's big.
I actually haven't. What is it?
It's a massage tool. And what's crazy is actually like we got so much organic traction. It was one of those things that just popped organically. The Rock posted us. Mark Wahlberg posted us. It's almost like a fitness tool that everyone uses. It's not the cane. No. It's like a psoas release tool. I can grab one. Give me a second.
Okay.
So it's this thing right here.
Ooh. And you lay on it?
Yeah. And it just releases your muscles. So I'm doing that. And then I'm doing...
You're running the agency?
Not running the agency anymore. No, I think... So for me with the agency, I realized I hate people. I'm very antisocial. So when you're like, oh, do you know this person? Do you know this person? I'm like, no, I don't know anyone. I'm literally like, I stay in my own bubble. I mind my own business. I don't like to be in the mix like that. I realized I didn't like people. I didn't like having to hunt for clients. I didn't like having to like, let's say you have an agency, right?
Yeah, I do, but I'm pivoting to something a little bit different. I'll tell you off camera. I don't want to like release it to the public, but I think, and I'll preface what you're about to say. I think an agency is like a level 5 to 7 vehicle, depending on how much work you want to put in. I think the best business model to start if you're just starting out is start an agency, because you can get from 0 to 10, 20K a month, that financial freedom mark, like right away. You need like home sales, right? Bingo. That's not even hard to do.
Bingo.
But when you want to get to 1 million a month, 10 million, 10, like 10, 20, 30 million a year, you need a different vehicle to do that, right? Facts. The reason why I teach sales and why Mason, he teaches copyright and we teach how to start an agency is because literally like he built a pretty high multi 5-figure agency before, and then he pivoted out of it and then did it again within like 3 months.
Yeah.
So easy, but you have to hire people. Every employee you hire, the order of magnitude of complexity of the business increases. Mm-hmm. You have a bunch of costs. And then if you really want to run a big agency, you could be turning over 250 grand a month, but you're only keeping 50.
Yeah. No, 100%. I think for me, the agency was just so much, man. I hated when like motherfuckers would tell me what to do. I'm like, oh, you bitch. Like I'll get angry. Right. Yeah. I'm like, I don't need you. So eventually I was like, I know how to build these brands. Like I've been building, I had an e-commerce agency. So I would like pretty much build e-commerce brands for other people. Everything, Facebook ads, Google ads, branding, et cetera, website. So I took a step back. I was like, I'm doing this for all these other people. I have a bunch of money now, right? Like at some point, the peak of the agency, I was making like, 60, 70 grand a month. And I was like, I don't need to do this. So I was like, let me just start brands.
Yeah.
And I think starting brands gives you a lot more leverage because now you have like an exit multiplier. If I want to sell the company, right? I can exit for a bunch of money. I don't have to deal with people outside of my employees, and those people listen to me. No one's going to bitch at me anymore. So I think the money I'm making is less because there's a lot of other things that go into the brands.
Yeah.
But it makes me happier. I live a better life. I live a simpler life.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I currently have an email marketing agency. And originally when I started out, because I sold so many loans to small businesses, I knew how to speak to small business really well. The only issue is when you work with small businesses, they don't have any fucking money, right? Quoting them 4 grand or 3 grand or even like 2 grand when I'm just starting out, like, yo, 2 grand, they'll be like, oh, well, I have to think about it. I'm like, okay, well, what do you mean you have to think about it? It's a $2,000 decision. It's not that much money, right? It's money for the rest of the time. So I ended up pivoting it to only doing email for companies that usually do over $1 million a year. I took on a couple clients that were smaller. And of course, you already know the smaller clients were a headache.
Yeah.
It was really cool. It's really cool though, to like come into like a brand and then just like you make them like you do a 400% increase and like with like just straight up email automation and just like their email flows and like revenue and everything. It's just like, it feels really good, but the vehicle I'm going to, I think, pivot out of it soon. Because, and I think this has to go for like anything you want to do. Like if you start lacking motivation for something that you worked on and that you built, it shows you a lot about you personally and where you're at. Like I'm a sales guy at heart. Like I was naturally inclined to do sales, and it was a skill that I really like when I first started out, bro, I fucking struggled. I'm sure you did the same. Like it was fucking hard, right? Mm-hmm. But you stick through it. But dude, like I just don't feel like hunting for, like you just said, like hunting for clients anymore. Like it's just like, it's not really something that I or hunting for specifically for clients to do this one service, even though I'm good at the service. It's like starting to feel like kind of a chore about a month and a half ago. And I'm going to pivot. I'll tell you off camera when we finish recording. But I think this new thing that I'm doing, I'm not only much more passionate about, but I think the vehicle of it and the exit multiplier on it is going to be fucking huge. And I could see, if I pull it off correctly, I could see myself doing, you know, 5-10 million its first year.
Fire, fire. And I think when it comes to wealth accumulation, or not even wealth, accumulation of any resource, hunting will always, I mean, farming will always be better than hunting, right? Yeah. If you get a dude and you're like, go hunt for your food, go hunt for resources, and you give someone a fucking farm and you're like, okay, go make some resources. The people who own the farm are always going to have more resources. They're always going to accumulate more resources than the people that have to fucking hunt for it. Now, the thing is, and this is a good analogy I use, when people start, you're not going to start with a farm unless daddy gives it to you, right? So you have, let's say you have a fucking pig farm. You have to go hunt for the pigs to then put into your farm. So you're always going to start hunting. Sales, great agency, you're always going to start hunting. And then eventually, if you hunt enough, you're a successful enough hunter, you're then going to go and get a farm, right? And when you build this farm, you're going to have to fucking do everything yourself. But then eventually you get other people to do it for you and you start paying them. And that's how you accumulate wealth. You build a fucking farm. You don't hunt, right? You can't hunt your way to wealth. You can farm your way to wealth.
That's absolutely profound, bro. I fucking love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. I completely agree. And I think it's important, like, once you start to be successful, that you work on things you're passionate about, right? Like, you with the agency, it was a great vehicle for you to get to where you need to be. But something I was saying, I think I was saying this to somebody yesterday, but you don't even know which ideas that you're going to come up with because you haven't even came up with the ideas to get to the new ideas yet. Right.
Yeah.
Like, if you told me when I left my sales job that 4 months later, I would build a 6-figure education company in 10 days, like after launch, with a fucking following that I built on Twitter 2 months earlier, with the knowledge that I had that I got in the trenches, I'd be like, yo, you're fucking nuts. I'm going to run a marketing agency. You're crazy. Right. If you told me 3 years ago, you're going to have a education company, a marketing agency. And then what's the term you use for like a course business, like sell info products, like
info products. Yeah.
Info products. Like, but, and you're going to do all these things simultaneously and pull all of them off with flawless execution. I'd have been like, dude, you are fucking nuts. Mm-hmm. Like, bro, I have $10 right now. Like, bro, I got $20. Like, what do you mean? Like, I think seriously, like, the vehicles change, right? And mm-hmm. like, you have found different vehicles because you've spent so much time learning how to build the skills that you can use to scale, right? Like, me and Mason, we're coining this term. You know how people say high income skills? We're going to coining the term scalable skills, right? Things like sales, things like marketing, things like copywriting. You package them all together and integrate them with one another. Whereas it becomes this game of how quickly can I build the scalable skills and then go, how quickly can I build the scalable skills as a hunter? And then I get the farm.
Yeah, 100%. And I think scalable skills are stuff that's been around for a long time. Those are the really scalable skills. So, like, a great example, sales has been around for thousands of years, right? If I'm a fucking merchant in the world and I need to make some money, I'm selling, I don't know, these little glass jugs or whatever. Mm-hmm. You had to have sales skills thousands of years ago. So it still applies in today's world. I think the longer a skill has been around, the more profitable it is. And that's like the definition of a scalable skill. If it's a scalable skill, it's because it's been around for a long time. Sales, marketing has been around for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hundreds of years. So all of these skills are like scalable. So I like that. I like that. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah. Like, so my next question, dude, so like you're building these e-commerce brands, like, and you're still doing YouTube, right? You're doing YouTube, TikTok and everything.
Social media. Yeah. I took a step back away from it. The way I got into social media in the first place was complete accident. I wasn't like someone that like jumped into the space. I was posting Instagram pictures. I was making a lot of money posting Instagram pictures, traveling, doing, and this is back in like 2018, 2019. So Instagram really loved like glamorous content, right? Look at my yacht party. Look at this fancy car. Like 2019, I spent 40 grand through this crazy ass yacht party. There was ever like 70, 80 people on the boat, like in LA and Newport Beach. So yeah, it was a vibe. That type of content got a lot of views and I was getting a lot of followers from that. Hmm. And then eventually, like, you get all these people like, oh, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? And yep. It pivoted into business. This is what I do. Right. And then the image started growing up a little bit, the audience. So now my audience, they follow me for like business stuff. Whereas before they used to follow me for like stupid fuckboy shit.
You know, it's something I really respect about you just based off what I've seen. Mm-hmm. And you do something that I do, and I actually do it intentionally. And I'm pretty sure that you do it intentionally as well, but correct me if I'm wrong. You've done a very good job of converting people on both sides, integrating people with you as a brand, not just the fuckboy lifestyle shit, but the business content as well, right? Yeah. The TikTok content. And it's something I did intentionally because, and I spoke about this a couple times, I think on the last podcast I did with Matt Kelly, who runs Space Goods, and he ran Neon Shore, Neon Beach or something. Like he's a very successful e-commerce guy, had a Ferrari at 24 and shit, like was doing seven figures a month, e-commerce, yeah. Killer.
He's a beast.
Okay. Killer. But something I was talking to, I believe I was talking to him about was like, let me catch my thought really quickly. Because what did I just say about?
You're talking to him about it.
Yeah, I was talking to him about, did I say, was it e-commerce or what was the original idea?
It was, fuck. I have ADHD, bro. You picked the wrong person. Forget something. On. We were talking about, fuck.
I'm keeping this in. I don't edit any of these. I don't edit.
Yeah, no, that's cool, bro. That's cool.
It's like, let me see. Let me, if I can remember the idea, I'll remember it. I'll just edit this out. But like, it really like the, integrating things with the brand, integrating things with the brand. Cause this is something I've done absolutely intentionally. So you have like Renee, right? You have a bunch of different skills, right? And you can bring people in for the lifestyle content, but then they see the lifestyle content and they're like, oh wait, like you just said, what does this guy do? Oh, I run a marketing agency or I run e-commerce brands. And then they're asking, okay, how do you do it? Right. Like me, right. I think I'm an okay speaker. I think I'm more than okay. I think I'm genuinely a very good orator. I have good speaking ability. I know about a bunch of things like business strategy, marketing, sales, copywriting, credit, fashion, mm-hmm. all of these different things. And if I get somebody from one side of things, my job, right, it would be a disservice not to bring them into the other things. Right. Somebody who follows me for travel content or like me just, oh, David's in Spain, he's doing this, he's at the club, whatever. Like, it would be a disservice to me to not provide them with the information of how I got there or having them have the vehicle to succeed of which is the information of how I got there. Right. So it's like bringing people from so many different areas and you can actually start to collect, you know, people from different demographics, people with different ideologies, and then it really integrate them with your brand and exactly who you are. Because mm-hmm. what it does is it fundamentally changes their identity. Once you change identity for the better, then you create a culture. And people with the most staying power, the most legacy, they create a culture.
Yeah. Kind
of, right.
Well, a beautiful part about that, I actually have something that speaks to that. I think the biggest thing with that, it just all wraps into like authenticity. I don't know if I intentionally do it, but I'm always authentic on my social medias with like who I am. So I'll post me fucking, I got these smelling salts. I posted on my Instagram story today where I was like doing these smelling salts. That shit fucking hurts. But like that has nothing to do with business. It's just me being me, yeah. Right? And you know, you're doing a good job when people can copy your mannerisms. So like this is a good example of that. Mm. Gary Vee is very authentic. He has people that impersonate him. Andrew Tate is very authentic. He has people that impersonate him. These people, like when they're just, yeah, they have energy and charisma, but when they're authentic to themselves, people are able to like imitate that because they give off like a certain feel, a certain vibe.
Yes.
So yes. That's like my take on that. And I think with you, like you just keep it real. You're not trying to be anyone else. You're just being David.
Appreciate that, dude. Cause, and the thing is like, when you start growing up, like you go through periods of life where like you start to adopt different identities, right? You start to kind of like, it's all part of figuring out who you are. Mm-hmm. Right. But you got to remain true to you and you got to do the things, not only remain true to you, but do the things that make you, you. Right. And I think if you focus on trying to be somebody, like, dude, like, there, I, all the DMs I get every day, like, you know, I can tell that there are people that, you know, want to copy me or they want to copy you. And it's just like, am I, I have a follow-up question, but like, I can tell, but at the end of the day, like, people would be a lot better off if they, it's very cliche to say, but just were themselves. Yeah. Or they became more of themselves, right? If they became more confident as an individual, if they became more true to who they are instead of coping with who they're not.
No one's going to beat you at being yourself. Mm-hmm. That's like a beautiful part about this like life game, right? Like I'm really good at being Renee. I'm really shitty at being David. So why would I try and be better than David at being David when I could just be Renee?
Yeah.
And I think people they put people on pedestals. And I think ultimately they just have to lean into themselves more.
Yeah. Yeah. But most people don't know how to do that.
Yeah. That's a hard part. I think it comes from trauma. I think you coming from like having a single mom, that adds to your success, you know? That's why when you look at like athletes.
Fire, bro.
Yeah. When you look at like. Same with you. Yeah. When you look at like athletes or people that like have had had a rough time growing up, these people always tend to be more successful because that trauma shapes you and it makes you strong and makes you tough. And the life is not easy. Yeah. Life is not easy, right? Like it might seem easy. Some people do it effortlessly and they just glide through it. Life is not easy. It's fucking difficult.
No.
So that trauma that shapes people and it makes them strong helps them navigate life a little bit better.
I'm sure you and I have been through things that would break the average person.
Exactly.
Fucking destroy the average person. I knew this guy. I wasn't super close friends with him, but I knew this guy. I went to college with him, and he got shot in the head when he was 18 and fucking survived. In North,
wow.
He got shot in the fucking head and survived, bro. He got drafted to the Packers right out of a D2 school for football.
Fucking crazy.
Drafted to the Packers after getting shot in the head. Bro, that is a fucking come up story.
Yeah.
Like, dude, like, you know, that shit, it shit, it makes you who you are. And you can either look at it two ways, right? This is, it's very interesting because, like, people can go through fucked up childhoods and be exactly fucked up just like their parents were. They can be, like, going through a fucked up childhood and come out on the other side, like, rising from the ashes like a fucking phoenix. Mm-hmm. Coming out on top, absolutely dominant. And what they do is they use that as fuel instead of being a victim. And I think too much in the world, especially because masculinity, especially men, are being just completely fucked. They're being demasculinized and just mm-hmm. completely destroyed. Dude, like, it's the victimhood mentality. You can't go through life thinking that you're the fucking victim all the time.
100%.
Right? If an alcoholic goes to the liquor store and buys alcohol, they choose to go in there, spend their money in that transaction and open the bottle and start getting fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The way I look at it too, right? Like, and I use this as a test to anyone. If they can't write a book about your life, if they can't make a movie about your life, you haven't gone through enough trauma. You haven't gone through enough shit in order to like be successful, right? Like very few people have like these like real princess, like fairy tale stories where they fucking go through life and everything's good and dandy. Most people that are successful have gone through the shit and they can make it something interesting. And going back to what you were saying about like men being like emasculated, I guess.
Castrated, emasculated. Yes.
Yeah. All these guys getting emasculated. Did you know that like the amount of men that are not having sex, I posted this on Twitter because I was like, this is interesting. And I'm like very passionate about this. The amount of men that are not having sex is like 3 times higher now than it was 10 years ago. Because dudes from 18 to 30 are no longer having sex, or like they're having sex 3 times less. And it's not by choice. The reason this is happening is because, and here's my thing. I grew up with a single mom. So when I see all this, like these podcasts of alpha male stuff, it kind of like irks me a little bit because it almost feels like they're trying to like put women down. I know they're not, it's not their intention, but that's what it feels like to me. I think this happened. Men are not having sex for this specific reason, right? Like or they're having less sex. Because of female empowerment, women are doing better. Women are making more now than ever. And women want dudes that make more money than them.
Yeah.
This is not like, women don't like to date down. So it's applying more pressure to men and then the weak ones break first. So the weak ones break and they're like, fuck it. It's too much work to go and like get laid. I'm just going to go jerk off. And that's why this number is dropping drastically. And like all like the dudes that are like, that don't break, the dudes that put in the work, that do all the stuff, that work really hard, they're the ones that like become available on the market to women.
They get the verified Instagram models and the girls who get blown up all day by blue check marks. You want to know why, bro? Because you and I are the dudes that have girls like that.
I feel like ultimately it just comes from putting in the work. So for any guy listening to this, I don't know what your audience demographic is. If you're a man,
mostly guys.
Stop trying to fucking look into like pickup artistry. Stop trying to like learn how to like get laid. Stop trying to flex for the gram. Literally go to the fucking gym every day, build your business, make some money, cultivate a personality. Stop being like shitty, right? Be like a true, just good person to be around. And like all that stuff will follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you start building yourself up, like all this other stuff just happens.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
It does. Absolutely.
And I want to leave on that message too, because I got to go at 5:30.
Oh, so no worries, bro. No worries.
I think that was a good place to like leave it.
That was great. It was a pleasure having you on, bro. I really appreciate
it. Next time you're in Miami, man, we have to hang out.
Oh, absolutely, bro. Absolutely. We'll run it back soon. I'm absolutely down, bro. I'm not the best basketball player, but
it's all good.
Where can we find you?
At Rene Lacod on everything. At Rene Lacod on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, you name it. I'm all there.
Amazing, bro. Brother, it was a pleasure.
I'll talk to you. Appreciate you, bro. Take care. Yeah.